true prayer is a partnership. There is a sense in which you never truly pray alone. It is a partnership involving Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Now, this sounds marvelous, but the obvious question is, okay, but where do I begin in practice?
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, if I were to ask for a show of hands from listeners, how many people are content in their prayer life? I doubt that very many hands would go up. It seems like this area of prayer is an area where so many Christians tend to struggle. And so today we're going to get real practical as we talk about what it means to pray in the Spirit.
Yeah, that's right. And Steve, I would hope that not many hands would go up. My hand wouldn't go up. Yeah. I think it's a part of health in the Christian life to always be in the position of saying, Lord, I want to go deeper with you. I want to go further with you. I want to pray with more faith. And this phrase, pray in the Holy Spirit, that Jude lays before us. Isn't there a whole world of fascination in that? I want to know more of that. I know that the Holy Spirit lives within me. The Holy Spirit lives in every believer. Everyone who comes to faith in Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit. I know that the Holy Spirit helps me when I pray. Paul talks about that in Romans in chapter 8. What does it mean to pray in the Holy Spirit? And how can I cultivate that? How can I grow in my own prayer life? That's what we're focusing on with three really practical steps today. And I want to share in the message something that's very special to me. The church from which I come, Steve, experienced now just over 100 years ago, a remarkable revival. It was part of the Welsh revival that came up to parts of Scotland. And there was a remarkable movement of the Spirit that expressed itself in prayer. That has always fascinated me. I've never seen revival in my lifetime. I hope and pray that I will. And I long to know more of what it is to pray in the Holy Spirit, in private and in the church.
Well, and as we just mentioned, today is going to be just real practical as we take a look at what it means to pray in the Holy Spirit. So join us in the book of Jude as we continue this message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Almighty God comes to every believer by His Holy Spirit to teach us how to pray, to prompt us of the direction in which God Himself is moving so that we may come into alignment with that and enter into His purpose, so that my prayer is not some kind of vague shot in the dark, but is a reflection of what God Himself is doing. It is an entering into partnership with the living God. That's why John says in his letter, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God. If we ask for anything in His will, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, whatever we ask, we have what we have asked of Him. We read a verse like that and say, I'm not sure I really understand that. And the reason we find it hard to understand is that we sometimes do not know much about praying in the Spirit. No, true prayer is a partnership. There is a sense in which you never truly pray alone. It is a partnership involving Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Now, this sounds marvelous, but the obvious question is, okay, but where do I begin in practice? I feel right now that my prayer life is just irregular and aimless, and you're talking about something from the Bible that sounds very wonderful. How do I begin to move in that direction? So here are three simple exercises in the second workout to keep yourself in spiritual shape. Number one, if you want to learn what it is to pray in the Spirit, then soak yourself in the Spirit's prayers. The Spirit's prayers. You see, the Bible contains some marvelous prayers which, if you think about it, were actually breathed out by the Spirit of God Himself. You'll find them in the book of Psalms. The whole Bible was written as men were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And as you fill your mind with the Word of God, as you fill your soul with the prayers of the Spirit, you will find that you begin to think God's thoughts after Him. And if you can learn to form your prayers in a way that reflects the Bible, you will be praying in the Spirit because you are praying in a way that reflects the mind and the heart of God. One of the greatest pieces of spiritual counsel I ever received was keep the tight connection, Colin, between your reading of the Bible and your praying. Relate the two together. So you may, for example, like to begin praying through the Psalms. Psalm number 1 begins like this: "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked." Well, I could pray that: "Lord, help me to realize advice that is really wicked, counsel that dishonors you, and guide me so that I do not go down this path." "Blessed is the man who does not sit in the seat of mockers." "Lord, I'm sometimes in danger of a bit of cynicism. Help me to identify that and to cut that off." "His delight is in the law of God." "Lord, I'm not sure how great my love is for your law, but would you increase that within my soul?" You see, you're praying that which has already been breathed out by the Spirit. You're beginning to enter in to the first dimension of what it means to pray in the Spirit. Turning the Scriptures into prayer will help you keep your prayers fresh, because when you get to Psalm 2 the next day, you'll find it's all about the nations and international conflict, and you'll be prompted to pray at that level. Another way in which you can do that is by praying the Lord's Prayer. I don't simply mean by repeating it. Let me explain how many have found this helpful. Martin Luther, for example, structured his entire prayer life around the Lord's Prayer every day throughout his lifetime. What he did was simply this. He saw that the Lord's Prayer essentially contained 5 headings that were basically the categories for his daily prayer. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And he began to pray about all that it means for God to be honored in his life, the church, and the nation. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He prayed for God's kingdom, for what is just, for what is true, and for what is right. "Give us this day our daily bread." He brought before God all of his daily needs: money, energy, peace, direction, patience, guidance, all that I need to live today, God. "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." He prayed about his own sins, tried to identify them, and asked for God's help in forgiving the wounds that others had inflicted on him. "Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil." He identified and called on God for areas in which he saw temptation and asked for eyes that would be open to see temptation and to be given triumph over it. Now that covers the whole of life, these 5 things. And you could pray into these 5 headings every day for the next month, and you would find something fresh to say as life moves on every day. You would be praying in the Spirit because you are praying in line with the very purpose of Jesus Christ. Now, some of our prayer, I think, runs into the staleness of our own spontaneity. We run dry because our minds are not that fruitful. And we're missing sometimes the very prompting of the Spirit that's given to us in the Scripture. If you want to pray in the Spirit, if you want to pray in a way that is daily fresh, then use that which God gives you in Scripture, as it were, to prime the pump of your prayer. And you will find that your prayer is renewed and that you're beginning to grow in what it means to pray in the Spirit. Here's the second thing. Align yourself with the Spirit's purpose. Not only to soak yourself in the Spirit's prayer, you get your Bible open, but align yourself with the Spirit's purpose. Now, here's another area in which we very practically can run into difficulty in our prayers. James says, when you ask, you don't receive. And what's the reason? Well, you're asking with wrong motives, he says, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. And he's writing to a group of Christians just like us. And he's saying the fundamental problem that many are experiencing in prayer is simply that it's about me. It's my shopping list being brought to God. Now, one of the wonderful things that begins to happen when you pray in the Spirit is that your mind and your heart and your will become realigned with the very purposes of God. Let me give you an example. Paul speaks about a particular affliction in his life, a problem that came to him that he only tells us was a thorn in the flesh. We don't know precisely what it was, but it was a problem that felt like a thorn in his flesh. He just couldn't get away from it. Now, three times he tells us he prayed that God would take it away. That's the most natural thing in the world. Lord, take away this thorn in the flesh. You think of some immediate problem in your life. Lord, take it away. Lord, take it away. No doubt he fasted. No doubt he prayed for extended periods of time and all the rest of it. But then he tells us in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12 that in the course of his praying, he began to discern through the Holy Spirit that God had another purpose in this. He said to me, Paul says, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, it was in the process of prayer, asking for one thing, that Paul discerned that through a problem in his life, God was doing another thing. In other words, prayer became the place where he was changed, where he grew, where he began to move from his own agenda of, I'd like this problem to be gone, to saying, I see that God is at work in this problem. That's a radical transformation in a man or a woman's heart, is it not?
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Pray in the Holy Spirit. It's part of a larger series from the book of Jude called Keeping Yourself in Spiritual Shape, taking a look at seven spiritual workouts. And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen through the Open the Bible app. You'll find that for free at your app store. But whether you listen online, on the radio, or through the app, it's all made possible through your generosity. So thank you for giving to and supporting this ministry. You can give a gift online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365 or openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now here's, if you like, the second dimension of praying in the Spirit. It involves aligning yourself with the very purpose of God. Think of the level of fellowship with God that is involved in this. I confessed to you last week that I've become nearly a professional eater of breakfasts. And those of you who are in business know all about this. You know, you go over in a business the projects in hand, you identify the key questions, you interact on what needs to happen next, there's synergy, there's discussion, all very stimulating if it's a good working project and so forth. Now let's think about it this way. God invites you to breakfast. God says, let's schedule some time for you and me to sit down and to interact together about what's going on in your life. But some of us have daytimers too full for this appointment. And so we dash into the restaurant 1 minute before the train leaves for the city. As it were, find the Lord sitting there at the table, and we've scribbled him a little list, and we've said, sorry, no time for breakfast today. Catch up with you another time. These are the things I need today. I'm off. I've got to catch the train. And we know little or nothing of fellowship with God, little or nothing of prayer actually changing us, because the interaction that is at the very heart of prayer has been completely absent. All we have done is trotted off a needs list, and we've learned nothing of what God, the other side of the breakfast table, wants to do in our lives. I've asked the question, you know, why is it that so many Christians can go so many years with so little change? And I guess that if we're doing the throw the list over the breakfast table thing, and that's the level of our prayer, we're not going to see very much change at all. Prayer is not about you trying to bring God into your world to fix things. Prayer is about God bringing you into his world so that you may collaborate and become part of his eternal purpose. And that's why, you see, praying in the Spirit is only possible, first, for those who love God, second, for those who've died to themselves, and it is only possible, therefore, in the power of the Spirit. That takes me to the last thing. How are we to grow into what the Bible describes here, this wonderful thing, praying in the Spirit? Soak yourself in the Spirit's prayers, align yourself with the Spirit's purpose, and then you'll find a third thing happening. Enter into the Spirit's passion. Now, I want you to picture, in this last point, a couple in a restaurant. We're having a lot of restaurant talk. Let's not make this breakfast. Let's make this an evening meal. And let's put some candles on the table, okay? They love each other, but the marriage has gone stale. They enjoy the meal, and they share conversation. There's conversation, but there's no connection. There's politeness, but there's no passion. They spend time, but they do not share soul. Now, there's no one here who doesn't know what I mean by that. Now, the problem is that our prayer can be like that too. You can say a prayer without having any emotional involvement or attachment towards God himself at all. But when you pray in the Spirit, you will increasingly share the Spirit's passion. Now, the best way I can describe this in these last moments is simply to give you a sample of what it can look like. My own home church in Edinburgh, Scotland, was born out of a revival nearly 100 years ago now. When I say revival, I don't mean an organized series of meetings. What I mean is something that God did, a visitation from God that elevated the spiritual life of a whole community. I'd like to read part of the record written at the time of those events. My grandmother would have been 7 years old at this time. I wish with all my heart that I could have been there. The people were on the tiptoe of expectancy for a revival. A conference on January 22, 1906, addressed by several workers who had visited Wales, lasted from 3:30 until midnight. From that day, it was felt that the fire of God had fallen, and as far as Charlotte Chapel, the name of the church, was concerned, God had answered prayer and reviving had come. The church had prayed one whole year without so much as a solitary break. Night after night, week after week, month after month, prayer meetings went on, increasing in numbers and intensity. It is impossible to convey any adequate idea of the prayer passion that characterized those meetings. It is necessary to be in it to know it. From the beginning to the close, the prayers ascended in one broken continuity. At time, prayer rose and fell like waves on the sea. There was no confusion. Towards the end of 1906, there were again indications that God was about to move in our midst. Attendances at the 7 a.m. prayer meeting on Sunday mornings increased, and the meetings were marked by a deepening spirit of prayer. This was followed up by the same spirit in weeknight prayer meetings. It was at a late-night prayer meeting held on the evening at 9:30 that the fire of God fell. There was nothing, humanly speaking, to account for what happened. Just quite suddenly, upon one and another, an overwhelming sense of the reality and the awfulness of God's presence and of eternal things, of life, death, and eternity, fell upon us, and suddenly all things were laid bare. Then prayer broke out again, waves and waves of prayer, and the midnight hour was reached. The hours passed like minutes. One who was present says, "I cannot tell you what Christ meant to me last night. My heart was overflowing. If ever God was near to me, it was here last night." The pastor writes this assessment: "I have yet to witness a movement that has produced more permanent results in the lives of men and women and children. There were some irregularities, no doubt, some commotion, yes, but such a movement with all its irregularities is to be preferred far above the dull, dreary, monotonous decorum of many churches." The pastor, Jack Kemp, writes these words, and as I read them to you, I want you to ask how many of them we need. If its genuineness can be attested by results, then we have no doubt regarding the genuineness of this movement of God. It has given us, and I quote, a full church night and morning. It has given us a most loyal and devoted band of workers whose aim is the glory of God and the salvation of sinners. It has taught us to pray in a fashion that few of us knew before. It has given to both young and old a new love for the Bible. And time would fail to tell, notice this, of purified lives, changed homes, and the brightened outlook of hundreds. Scores of people came to faith in Jesus Christ over these 2 years in which this movement of prayer in the Holy Spirit touched one church. You can't generate this, but you can hunger for it. You can pray for it. I'm asking, as I think about these things, what do we know of them in our lives? Where are we seeing that transformation of a home? What difference would it make to your family, to this church, to your business, if you learned to pray in the Holy Spirit? My question, as I've poured over and into this in these last days, simply this: is there a hunger for such things among us? Oh, breath of life, come sweeping through us. Revive your church with life and power. Oh, breath of life, come cleanse, renew us, and fit your church to meet this hour.
Pastor Colin Smith with the conclusion of our message, Pray in the Holy Spirit. What a great challenge and encouragement for us today. Well, our message is part of a larger series called Keeping Yourself in Spiritual Shape, 7 Workouts for a Healthy Christian Life. You know, there's no shortage of material to help you keep your body in shape, but this series really gives us advice for keeping our soul in shape. Each of these spiritual workouts is drawn directly from the book of Jude. And as we put these workouts into practice, our spiritual muscles begin to grow. So if you're looking to get your spiritual life back into shape, this series is for you. You can order a copy when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. And when you're at the website, I hope you'll take a little time and check out some of the different tools and resources we have there to help you grow in your walk with Christ. Again, our website address is openthebible.org. Well, I love reading, but admittedly, I don't have a lot of time to read. So when I'm in the car, I listen to a lot of audiobooks. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and maybe that's you. You resonate and identify with that. If that's the case, we're excited about a brand new podcast we want you to check out. It's called Hike Through the Bible.
Yeah, and the Hike Through the Bible podcast will take you on a journey through the entire Bible story, giving you the option of listening or watching rather than reading. And in each episode, I'll read a chapter of my book, Hike Through the Bible, and then I'll discuss it with some friends. I hope you'll join me in hiking through the Bible. You'll grow in your faith, you'll deepen your grasp of Scripture, and you'll come to love Jesus more. It's not too late to get started. You can subscribe to the Hike Through the Bible podcast for free wherever you get your podcasts, and you'll find more information at openthebible.org/hike. That's openthebible.org/hike.
Well, thank you, Colin. I do hope that you'll take that Hike Through the Bible with Pastor Colin. Certainly look forward to doing that together. Again, if you want more information, openthebible.org/hike. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
A single conversation can change your life, and that happened to me at a conference many years ago. Over lunch, I sat next to a pioneer missionary. He told me the story of how he'd made contact with an unreached tribal group in northern Thailand, how the tribal chief had invited him to make his home there, how he built his own home, and then learned the tribal language and began to serve these people. It was jaw-dropping stuff. At one point in the conversation, I asked him, "Where do you begin in explaining the gospel to people who don't even know who God is?" And he said, "We tell them the Bible story." Now, I'm convinced that we need to learn from the approach of pioneer missionaries in reaching lost people today. And that's why I wrote Fly Through the Bible. Fly Through the Bible is short, simple, and shareable. It's a place where someone in your life can begin. So who is there in your life who needs to know the God of the Bible and might be willing to open the Bible with you if you ask them? For more information, visit openthebible.org/fly. That's openthebible.org/fly.